Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nidah Daf Samach Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins five lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Hei. In our previous Shiur, we had learned the bulk of Daf Samach Hei as part of our Daf Samach Dalid Shiur. We pick up the Gemara, Ro'aso V'oido. The Mishnah mentioned a girl who had experienced a menstrual flow while she was still a single woman in her father's home. And here the Gemara introduces a Tanaic source, and the focus of our discussion will be, as we have recorded on the side of our Gemara under the Nosei heading, the topic heading, Shiur Zman Oino. The term Oino is referred to, and we want to know how long is that period of time. The idea being that a girl who experiences her first act of intimacy, we assume that the blood that she sees is associated with the breaking of the membrane in that area of the woman's anatomy as a result of the first act of intimacy. How long is the time? How much time will we continue to ascribe blood sightings to that phenomenon, and hence she will be considered tahora and muteris to her husband? After which, after this time period, we no longer consider it part of that phenomenon, but rather dam nidah. So the issue here is the shiur zman oina, hagmor malis stira bein shtei makoros, umiyashevis oisol. The Gemara will then raise a contradiction after presenting the time frame of an ona. The Gemara will present a contradiction from another source wherein the term ona appears, even though the source has nothing to do with issues of blood flow and menstrual cycles, but we will be focusing on the use of the word ona and how long it is, and we'll see a contradiction. After that, the Gemara resolves it. So now the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Rasa V'Oida Bevesavia, a girl who had already reached the age where she would be expected to have a blood flow, and she did. She reached, we'll call it maturity, Narus, and she was, and this happened before she got married, and now she gets married. Beis Hillel Omrim, Kol HaLaila Shela, the whole night is for her, meaning any blood she sees during the night, we will not consider it tame. V'noisnin lo oino shlema, and she is given this amount of time, an oino shlema for tahara. V'kama oino shlema, how long is that? Pirush Rav Shimon Gamliel, lailo v'chatzi yom, the night plus half the day. That would mean that any blood that she sees during this time period is not going to be considered tame and not considered prohibiting. Do we give so much? Is that really an ona, a night plus half a day? Viromini. We raise and now a contradiction. You'll notice that there is a Tanaic source that extends down Omid Beis, and we have a long question marking indicating that this question lasts quite a few lines. You'll notice the kuf to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line indicating all of the lines of the Gemara opposite this marking constitute the question. For our purposes, it will be of utmost importance to emphasize that the word ona appears on Amud Beis. You'll notice toward the end of the source, 3-4 lines before the end of the source, we've dashed underlined that key word. After the Tanaic source, the Gemara asks, "Kama oina? How long is an oina?" And you can see there, "Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Amar Reb Yochanan, oy yoyim oy lailan." We've dashed underlined that. What do you see from here? That an ona is a day or a night, not a night and a half, not a night plus half a day. That is essentially the question. All the rest of the contents here, we will have to relegate to the realm of details, which have more significance in other masechtas, where the focus of the discussion is on the other points. But right now, as we said, the focus is on the definition, the time definition of the word oina. So we now raise a stira, v'romini. And now we point out also that this source deals with someone who is being metaher his wine press or olive press. These presses had been found in them mashkim temeim, which is one of the pshatim that's used to explain this source. And he wants to remove the mashkim temeim from this unit, from the press. Hare shohoyu gasov ubeis badov temeus. A person had a gas is a wine press, a bad is an olive press, and they had become tomei, and we're talking here, as we suggest according to some meforshim, that it is tomei as a result of mashkim temeim, liquids that are tomei. Ubikesh la'asoysin b'tara, now he wants to process his grapes and his olives in a state of tara, in a state of ritual purity. Kethar oisa, what should he do to metahir, to remove the mashkim temeim from this unit? So the press has many component parts. Hadapim valulovin vadoshim. It's really not of critical importance to explain each one of these things, but Rashi points out that the dapim are in effect doors or boards that were placed on the grapes. Lulovin are sweeping devices made probably of palm leaves. Vahadoshim are a type of Rashi says the adoshim is the press itself, the gas atzma. Madichon, it is sufficient to rinse them off. Other parts, akolim. The akolim was a type of web work that was used to hold the grape parts in place. And if it depends what it's made of, shel nitzorim shel batzbutz, if this web work is made of these materials, menagvam, it's enough just to wipe them dry. They don't absorb anything. Shel shifa v'shel gemi, if the akolim are made of shifa or gemi material, miyashnon, leave them to age, and in the course of time, so whatever is absorbed will dry out. The kama miyashnon, how long is this aging process? Answer, yud beis chodesh, 12 months. Leave them aside for 12 months without use, and then you'll be able to use them in tahara. Rav Shmuel Omer, manichon migas legas umibad lebad. Rav Shmuel Liel suggests leave them from one season to the next, from one pressing season to the next. Gas legas would be from one wine pressing season to the next, and the bad lebad is from one olive pressing season to the next. The Gemara asks, and you can see we have a brackets, this just illustrates that it's a Gemara interruption. The point of Rav Shmuel Liel, when you say from one season to the next, these were annual affairs. So Hainu Tanakama, then he's really saying the same as the Tanakama, who said leave them for 12 months, meaning from this point till next, from this point in time till next year at this time. That's in effect the same thing as saying from season to season. The Gemara answers, Iko binayu, there will be a point of difference, Charfi v'afli. Rashi explains, Charfi v'afli, the Reb Shimon, on the third line from the top, the Reb Shimon, Pa'omim shein yoyser mid bois chodesh, Pa'omim shein pochos. When you say from season to season, sometimes it will be more than a year, because it could be that next year's pressing season will fall out later than this year's pressing season, so more than 12 months will have lapsed. Sometimes next year's pressing season is earlier than it was this year, hence the gap in time is less than 12 months. So Charfi is early and Afli is late. So there is a point of difference, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is not merely a repetition of the Tanakama's mention of 12 months. Rav Yosi Omer, Haroitzel Tair Miad, a person who wants to purify his press immediately, Magilon Baroyshin, he would boil it out with boiling water, Oicholton Bemei Zesim, or pour on it hot olive liquid. Mei zesim is a water. It's something that's a residual liquid from the pressing of the olives. Reb Shimon Amiel suggests you leave them under a pipe shemeimov mekachem that has flowing water, or b'ma'ayon shemeimov roifim, or leave it in a stream that has flowing water. So the flowing action will mitahir, will serve to purify the press from the tumah. The kamo, and how long must he leave it there in the flowing action for the tara? Answer: oino. Now we have a brackets here because the lotion inside the brackets needs to be corrected. So the smooth reading of this source, just if we skip for a moment, reads as follows: Kederech shomru b'taros, as we have taught over here with regard to taros, which is the issue of purification from tuma, kach omru b'yayin nesech. The same laws will apply to a press that had been used for making unkosher wine, idolatrous wine, so that whatever the procedures we mentioned for tuma removal, the removal of tuma mashkim tumeim, so too with the removal or the expunging of the forbidden wine. We go over now the bracketed section, and you'll notice how there is a problem. It says, "Kederech she'omru b'yayin nesech," as it was taught by forbidden wine, "kach omru b'taros." So too apply the rules to taros. So the Gemara asks, "Klapi laya, where are you going? In what direction are you going?" B'taros kaminon. This source is featuring taros. We're in the middle of a taros discussion. The topic is purification from tuma. So if that's the topic you're featuring and you want to extend it to something else, rather say it like this: "Elo kederech." As it has been stated here in the case of taros, kach omru b'yayinesach, so to apply these laws to removal or expunging of forbidden wine. Now, the kama oina, how long is an ona? And this is where we really have to focus. This is the main point of our long question. Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, oyoyim oylaila, either for a full day or for a full night. So a yona, an oina is a, in effect, a daytime period or a nighttime period. Rav Chana Sheuna, the Amri Law, another version of the names is Rav Chana Bar Sheuna, Amar Rabbo Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan. Here you have Rabbo Bar Chana quoting Rabbi Yochanan, saying, Chatzi yoyim v'chatzi laila. How long is an oina? A half a day and half a night. The Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok Velo Pligi. These two opinions of Rabbi Yochanan, namely Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who is our number one, and Rabbo Bar Chana, who is the second approach to Rabbi Yochanan, are not arguing with one another. Habit Kufas Nisan B'Tishrei. If you're dealing with the Tkufas Nisan, is the spring season, or Tishrei, the fall season, specifically the vernal or the autumnal equinox, at which time the day and night are of equal lengths of time. So in that case, we would say oy yoyim oy laila, giving you 12 hours. Essentially, 12 hours is what an oino would be. And habet kufas tamuz v'teves, that would be according to the second approach where we said half a day, half a night. This would be during the summer or winter solstice. Tkufas Tamuz, the summer solstice. Teves is the winter solstice, at which time you have an unequal amount of time between day and night. So what you do is you take half a day, and let's say if you're in the winter, so just for illustration purposes, the winter, let's say you have 6 hours of daylight and you have 18 hours of night. So you take half of the day, that's instead of six, you take three, that's half of six. And 18 hours of night, you take half of that is nine. So we have three and nine, that equals 12. Once again, you get to a period, a length of time of 12 hours. That is an oino. So that, at this point, we come to the end of our long question. On Omid Aleph, we saw a source that says, how long is an oino? It's a night and plus half a day. Here we see that it's not that, it's 12 hours. The Gemara answers, Hocha Nami Ema, so too with regard to the issue of the Dam. say hachinami emo gabi nida chatzi yoim v'chatzi laila. Well, in other words, change the understanding, and not laila v'chatzi yom, but rather half a night plus half a day, and that would correspond to what we had just before under our number two, where you saw chatzi yom v'chatzi laila. So there would be no question. The Gemara asks, so how can you give that answer for the case of the issue of dam, v'ha laila v'chatzi yoim ka'omar? But it says clearly, we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omed Aleph, and you can see there on Omed Aleph where you find the corresponding star that it says in the source, night plus half day, not half of day or plus half night, but rather full night plus half day. Elo, rather, the understanding of the source is... You'll notice, of course, that this is the second, we call this base, the second stage of the answer, is Elo I Laila Denison V'Tishrei, O I Chatzi Yoim V'Chatzi Laila V'Teves V'Tamuz. So when the source says Laila V'Chatzi Yom, it's really to be split in its understanding. Keep the words as they are, but Laila is not attached to Chatzi Yom, but rather it's Laila of Nisan or Tishrei, which we mentioned before, that was the vernal and autumnal equinox, where you have equal time periods, so day and night, so the night is 12 hours, so Laila is 12 hours, and when it says in the source Chatzi Yom, it means Chatzi Yom plus Chatzi Laila of Teves and Tammuz, which again leads you to 12 hours. So after all said and done, there is no contradiction as far as the definition of Oino in the case of blood and in the case of Tahara. The Iboyasema, another approach to the case of the Dam and the Nida regarding the woman who was just getting married, it could be that over there, in fact, an Ona is longer. Shiny Ksuba, the rules regarding Ksuba, which are relevant to this discussion, we're talking about the preparation of a Ksuba, the Magi Ba Tfei Ad Dechasmi. There is a Magi, is an expression having to do with a great deal of delay that there is involved in the preparation of a ksuba, and the one of the achronim we have noted on the inside margin, the Rash Midasuya, says that the reason for, or let's say, tying in the rules of ksuba preparation, this is the marriage contract, if you will, and the issue of bia, is that it is also to engage in intimacy until a ksuba is prepared. So that the source was referring to not only the time for the actual intimacy, but also taking into consideration the delay involved in preparing the marriage document, the ksuba document, which is tied into the issue of the first act of intimacy. So you need more time, and that's why the source makes reference to, we give them a night plus half a day. Rav Ushmuel. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, and we call this Dinom Shel Rav Ushmuel, the rule of Rav and Shmuel, that Boyol Bilas Mitzvah Uporesh, that when it comes to a girl getting married and experiencing her first act of intimacy, we allow just the initial act, that's called the Bias Mitzvah, and then the couple must separate. Afilu lo higiyazmano, even if you're dealing with a girl that hasn't reached the age of experiencing menstrual cycles, even if you're dealing with a ketana, Rav and Shmuel will tell you that we're not going to have any of this extended time that we have learned up till now. Mosiv Rav Chista. Rav Chista raises an objection. He says, Maisiv enosan la Rebbe arba leilos mitoch yud beis chodesh. We saw in a Tanaic source where Rebbe allowed 4 nights out of 12 months where of, we'll call it unrestricted intimacy, in the sense that all blood flow would be ascribed to the breaking of the membrane and not something of a tuma of a menstrual nature. So how can Rav and Shmuel say to the contrary? How can they issue a ruling of such extreme limitation? Amar le Rava. Rava addresses Rav Chista and says, Haduri apircha lama loy oisiv mi masnisin. If you're seeking out to ask a question on Rav and Shmuel, why do you ask from a Brisa source? Although it's a Tanaic source, it's not as strong as a Mishnah source. You could have asked on Rav and Shmuel from our Mishnah, where you saw all kinds of extended time lengths to the couple that just got married, more than just Boyel Bilas Mitzvah. So why did Rav Chista choose to ask from, we'll call it, a weaker source, when he could have asked his question from the Mishnah? The Gemara answers that who savar maisa Rav. Rav Chista felt that relating a maisa Rav is an incident, an actual incident that took place, has greater significance. So as such, so the maisa involving Rebbe was an actual incident where Rebbe ruled that we will give her 4 nights. That carries greater strength, but nevertheless, Mikol Mokom LeRav Ushmuel Kashya. But still, there is a question. Either if you're going to ask from the Mishnah as Rabba suggested, or you ask the question as Rav Chista actually did from the Brisa, there still remains a question on Rav and Shmuel, who limited the couple to Bias Mitzvah, and then they must separate. The Gemara responds: Inhu the Avdu Kerabbi Senu. The ruling of Rav and Shmuel was in accordance with a Tanaic source authored by the scholars, the Rabbo Seinu, the Sanyo, Rabbo Seinu Chazru V'nimnu Sheboil Bilas Mitzvah Poresh. There was a later ruling, a vote had been taken, and a ruling issued that a couple that gets married and there is an act of intimacy, the first act of intimacy, all we allow is that act itself, and they must separate. And it could be well understood that the separation means they must observe the rules of Nidah for 7 days, a 7-day separation until she becomes Tahora again. Once again, as we've said many times, we are not reflecting in the course of the Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, practical halachic practice, but we are seeing here the roots of that which you will find in actual halacha when it comes to a couple that just gets married. In fact, they are limited to the first act of intimacy, and that's it. Meaning, after that, there is a period of tahara that must be observed. Omar Ula, Kihavu bo Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish betinoikes. When Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would study this perek, Havu literally is to raise questions, but engage in the study of this perek. Lo havu maski mino, they didn't come away or conclude from it very much on a practical level. Elo kidamasik talo mi bei karba, and no more than a talo as a fox comes out of a plowed field. It's an imagery over here, but if you imagine a freshly plowed field and a fox running through it, he will have some, let's say, some dust that's caught on its legs, and that's it. In other words, after studying this perek and then trying to come to a practical conclusion, there is very little that one learns in this perek that has any let's say relevance or application to practical halacha. Umesaimi bohachi, and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish would conclude this perek with the following rule: Boyo bilas mitzvah uporesh. That, as we just said before, that the newly wed couple is limited to the initial act of intimacy, which is called bilas mitzvah, and they separate. Looking at Rashi on the less than halfway down the Rashi commentary, Mibei karba min hamachresha, that's from a plowed field. She'ena motzi mishom el avak raglav, the fox running through it carries away with it only some dust left attached to its legs. Hachinami lo yalfino mipirkei de masnisin midi. So too, in learning this perek, we don't learn anything from it. Elo mi braisa ucharaboseinu. All we come away with is the ruling of the that's found in the braisa in the name of the raboseinu. De amri boil bilis mitzvah poresh. Now, not to misunderstand things here. Of course, there is great value in the Torah learning aspect of it, but in terms of taking information from this perek, especially all of the discussions concerning the multiple nights and the extended time frame that we allow a newly wed couple to engage in intimacy, all of that has no relevance when you come to the final ruling. That's what we're saying over here, and all we're left with is the ruling of the Raboseinu, Boyo Bilis Mitzvah Poresh. Omar Lei Rabbi Abba the Ravashi Elo Me'ata. If now we're saying that this is all we entitle them to, and apparently it's coming from all types of fears that maybe there is menstrual blood involved, any subsequent blood flow will be of a tummy nature. Well, if that be the case, then Baal Nefesh Lo Yigmar Biyoso. Then a Baal Nefesh, a person who is particularly scrupulous with halachic performance, should then not even complete the act of intimacy when you're talking about this first act. Omar Le, so Ravashi says, if we're going to tell a Baal Nefesh, don't even complete it, im kein libo yinoik for you poresh, he'll start to have a real feelings of fear, of guilt, and fear that something wrong might happen, and he won't even engage in the first act of intimacy. So we don't want to tell him, listen, you know, do it, but don't complete the act. But rather, we tell the person, go ahead, have your first act of intimacy, complete it, and then separate. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that we also offer an introduction to this discussion through our nosei, our topic heading in the margin. The topic heading reads as follows: Shinui Tseva Dam, changes in blood color, Mibesulim Lenida, from the blood color associated with the breaking of the membrane to blood that is associated with the Nida menstrual flow. We will discuss or we mention of two points: Shoifas Mitoch Dalid Lachar Dalid, a woman who is experiencing a blood flow that continues from the fourth night, which is, we learned about the entitlement of four nights, that we don't have to worry about Tumah, but the blood flow continues from the fourth night into after the fourth night. How do we look at things under those circumstances? There will also be a reference to Sha'ar Rios, other sightings associated with this newly married couple. Where there is no continual blood flow. We're going to learn this Tanaic source, but we're going to have to just give a disclaimer. There is a lot of detail that one finds in the Meforshim regarding this topic, so we are going to be limiting ourselves to the most superficial approach, basically a translation of this, but trying to, as we say, offer a disclaimer so as not to be guilty of offering a wrong explanation, but rather a superficial explanation, leaving it to all of you to research it further for a more accurate presentation. In the meantime, we continue. Tonu Rabbona, v'kulon shohoyu shofos dam uba'ois mitoich arba leilos lachar arba leilos. In women who are engaging in their first acts of intimacy, and we're talking about a transition from the fourth night till after the fourth night. That's a reference to a girl who had not experienced a blood flow beforehand, or mitoch halayla li'achar halayla, or with reference to a girl that had already seen blood, a menstrual flow, when she was a single girl. We give her the entire night, though, but in this case, she has a continuous blood flow from that first night of initial intimacy, and the blood continues flowing till after the first night. So there's a continuum here. Kulon srichos livdoik es atzmon. They must check themselves. If they want to continue having intimacy, they're going to have to check themselves to discover maybe there was a color change. In other words, the blood that comes from the breaking of the membrane is assumed to have one type of redness to it. And if she notices a change after that first night, or after the fourth night in each case respectively, then that's a sign that it's no longer Tohor blood, but it's Nida blood. Uvekulon, Rabbi Meir Machmir Kedivre Beis Shammai. In all of the different cases, Rabbi Meir follows the opinion of Beis Shammai, and that would tell us that if you're dealing with a ktana, a girl who is a minor who has not experienced any menstrual flows yet, we limit the amount of intimacies to four nights, and the Na'ara only one night. Beis Hillel had a more extensive time allotment, but Rabbi Meir follows Beis Shammai. The source continues to Sha'arios, Shebein Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel. Sha'arios is a reference to cases where there is no, where you don't have the continuous blood flow, where there's a non-shofaz case. But regarding those cases where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had argued, Haloch Achar Mar Edomim, you must place an emphasis, or you follow the color. Shoy Rabbi Meir Omer, Mar Edomim Mishunim Heim Ze Mizeh. There is a recognizable difference in colors between the different bloods. Ketzad, dam nida odoim, dam sum eno odom. Menstrual blood is a more intense red hue. The dam besulim, the blood from the membrane breaking, is not as red. Dam nida zihum, dam besulim eno zihum. Dam nida has a foul odor to it, and that is, which is not the case of dam besulim. Dam nida ba min amokor, dam besulim ba min atzdadim. Dam nida comes from the uterus. Dam besulim comes from the body walls, from the sides. Omer Rabbi Yitzchok bar Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, zu divrei Rabbi Meir. What we've learned till now is Rabbi Meir's approach. Avo chachomim oimrim kol mara domim achas hein. The chachomim say that all blood has the same color. In other words, one cannot come to conclusions based on a change in color, because they are all considered one. All blood colors are one. The Gemara's new topic here, we have a slash mark indicating that this, that which follows is a new idea, and under our topic heading, the no say heading, we've noted Roya Machmas Tashmish. This features a woman who experiences a needle flow as a result of intimacy. Rashi emphasizes that this section of Gemara is a completely new discussion, having nothing to do with the issue of the girl who is newly married. In other words, the issue of Dam Besulim is not our point here. But we're dealing with a regular woman, but she notices that every time she experiences intimacy, she experiences a Nida flow. Horoya dam machmas tashmish. And it goes without saying that intimacy with a woman that's a nida is a very serious offense. It carries with it a kores punishment. So a woman who sees blood as a result of intimacy, in other words, during intimacy, she starts to have a nida experience. Mishameshes pam rishoyna ushniyo shlishes. She's entitled to engage in intimacy one time, two times, three times, and now if this continues, if she has experienced a nida flow during tashmish three times, mikan ve'elich lo tishamesh ad shetiskaresh, this couple shall not remain together, and rather no more intimacy, and they must divorce. The tinosei le'acher. We continue at the top of daf samach vov. And she is to marry someone else. She's entitled to marry someone else. Niseis lachiv rosso dam machmas tashmish. And this happened again. She married a second man, saw blood at the time of intimacy. Mishameshes pam rishonu shniu shlishis. She's entitled to three attempts, three intimacies. Mikan Veilech, but if after three intimacies this nidah flow kept happening, lo beyond that, lo tishamesh ad shizgash v'tinasa achas, she shall not continue with him, rather divorce and marry a third man. Niseis le'acher, she marries a third man, v'ra sodamach mistashmish, and saw blood as a result of intimacy. Mishameshes pam rishonu shni u'shlishes, mikan veilech lo tishamesh ad shetivdok atzma. Beyond that, now she's with the third man, has had three acts of intimacy, each one of which with a nida flow. We say at this point, don't continue having intimacy until she checks herself. What she wants to establish through this checking is that is the blood that she's experiencing really nida blood, or possibly blood from an injury. So we say here how she should check herself. Ketzad bodekes es atzmo, what method of checking is to be applied? Mevias shvoferes ubesoichel makhoil. She brings a shvoferes, is a tube, and within the tube is a makhoil, is an applicator, umoich munoch al rosho, and some soft material is at the tip of the applicator. Im nimsa dam al roish hamoich, if blood appears on the tip of the moch, of the material, v'yodua shemina mokor hu ba, then it's a sign that it comes from the mokor, and which is a tome source, and then there is a real problem. Lo nimsa dam al roisho, if blood is not visible on the tip of this moich, and yet the woman has been experiencing bleeding, biyodua sheminat stodin hu ba, then she can know it came from the sides. V'im yesh lo maka v'oisem mokom toile b'makosa. Well, before we go on, if we say that there's no blood on the tip, and therefore we can conclude that the blood was coming from the stodim, and she will be tohar. Now, furthermore, if she has an injury in the uterus, she's entitled to ascribe the blood to that injury. And again, blood coming from an injury is not forbidden. It doesn't create prohibition. V'im yesh lo veses, toilu bevesto. If she has a fixed cycle. Now, what is this a reference to? So we look at Rashi, v'im yesh lo veses, lekilkul hazeh. A veses means a fixed a pattern for this mess up. She'ena roya kol shoa machmas tashmish elo leprokim. What's described here is a woman that doesn't see at each act of intimacy, but at fixed times. Toilu bevesta umeshameshes below bedika bein veses leveses. So then she can engage in intimacy at times other than those fixed times, without the need for checking. The source continues, v'im hoya dam makosa mishuna midam riyasa eino toila. If the dam mako is different than the dam ri'ya, that would mean that if injury blood doesn't look like the nida blood, and she sees what looks like nida blood, so that even though she has a maka, she won't be able to, a maka is the injury or bruise, she won't be able to ascribe non-bruise looking blood to the bruise. V'ne'emenes ishaloymar mako yeshli b'mokor shimimeno dam yoytse, Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe points out, Divrei Rebbe is going on this last point, that a woman is believed to say that I have an injury in my uterus from which the blood is coming. Rav Shmuel Amliel oymer dam mako habo min ha'mokor tomei. Rav Shmuel Amliel says that blood that's injury related, that comes from the mokor, the blood itself is tome. We don't have to associate Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's comment to a comment regarding the status of the woman, but rather it's a comment regarding the halachic nature of the blood itself. It's that blood that comes, it's a maka blood, means it's not needle blood, but it comes from the uterus. The blood itself is tameh. Rabbeinu idu al dam hamaka bonim in hamaka shutor. The Rabbeinu disagree and say that though the blood comes from the uterus, the blood itself is tahor. My binayu. What is the point of difference, the underlying point of difference between Shlomo and the Rabbeinu? Amar ula makor makom tameh kubinayu. The issue of how to classify the uterus itself, is it a place of tuma or not? If the uterus itself, the mokar, is a place of tuma, well, that would be Rav Shlomo Leal's approach, that the blood that comes from there, having had contact with the tumay location, the blood itself is tumay. If, however, you say that the uterus itself is tahor, so the blood that's injury-related, that comes from that place, is also tahor. The Gemara asks, how can you suggest the bedika, the checking, by the insertion of a tube? Shveferes afgure mifkiro la. The shveferes is going to scratch the insides of her body and will cause a blood release. And so you're not going to be able to do an accurate checking when you're causing a blood flow, and we'll call it an extraneous or external generation of blood flow as a result of scratching through the insertion of this tube. Omar Shmuel answers, b'shveferes shel avor upia rotzuf l'socha. It's a lead tube, and my assumption is that this is the tube itself is of a smooth material, and the rim of it, the edge of it, is folded inward so that it has a rounded lip to it or rim to it, also not going to cause any scratching. Omar le Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. There are the double underline is used to indicate the questions that Reish Lakish raises to Rabbi Yochanan. The first question is regarding this woman who is, we saw, had multiple nida flows during intimacy. V'tivdoik atzma b'bi'o shlishis shel ba'al harishon. Why not allow the bedika, as opposed to the imposed divorce that was mentioned, why not allow this bedika, this test, or this checking after the third intimacy with the first husband? Why do we say that after three intimacies and blood flows and needle blood flows, she must leave the first husband, and there is no suggestion of a bedika? Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Lefi she'ein kol ha'etzbois shavois. The word etzbois is a euphemism because the translation is a finger, but we're referring to the male organ. And the point is that that not all males have the same size organ. And Rashi explains in greater detail, Lefi she'ein kol ha'etzbois shavois, v'shema b'bal acher lo titzak b'dika. It could be that with intimacy with a second husband, with another husband, she won't need to do any bdika, because maybe with him there won't be any blood flow. Umutov shitiskaresh v'titakein v'lotovi lidei shigas koris. It's better for her to divorce, enter a situation where there is no blood flow whatsoever, instead of staying with a man and encountering a possible kores penalty, even though it's unintentional. Hilkoch miskareshes. It's therefore better for her to leave that first husband. Ad shetischazek b'sholosh etzbos, until she establishes a pattern, a chazoka status, with three different men, and hence three different size organs. And then we would know that it's not a function of something that's him-related, the husband-related, but rather she is the problem. The Gemara continues, Omar Le, so Reish Lakish comes up with another question, V'tivdok atzmo bi'o rishonis shel ba'al shlishis. Why isn't there a checking after the first act of intimacy and accompanying blood flow with the third husband? Why, with regard to the third husband, was she allowed to continue to three acts of intimacy? Why didn't we impose a checking after the first act of intimacy with the third husband. After all, we see now three etzbos. She's married to the third man. Why wait till the third act of intimacy with the third man before the checking? The answer to that is l'fish ein kol ha'koychis shavos. The koych is the force that is used during the act of intimacy itself. Not all the forces are the same, and therefore with her new third husband and the first act that they have, that still doesn't establish a pattern with regard to this particular husband. The pattern is established only after three acts with this man, and only then can we say, well, we have a very suspicious looking situation of a woman that is muhzekes, is having a needle flow during intimacy as a result of having been with three different men and with the third man after three different experiences. And now we introduce the checking option. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.